so glad to see everyone that's here to celebrate our Thanksgiving harvest dinner, our Joash Chess Sunday. And I want to say our most precious blessing are the people that the Lord has saved through our witness, especially this past year that we've had. I don't know if you know, but I want to share it with you. The theme for our fall campaign is Gathering in the Harvest. Gathering in the Harvest. And many of our church members have come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior during the campaign. And not just this campaign, but other campaigns. And in this campaign in 2024, so far, I think that we have had thus far in this campaign something like 10 baptisms so far, and many more that have trusted the Lord. I think we've had a number that have. And one of the saddest verses in the Bible, I believe, is found in Jeremiah 8:20. It's not my text, but I'll share it with you. Here it is. It says, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." You know, I have a guy next to me that grows all kinds of things in his yard. He grows all kind of vegetables, fruit. He has huge pumpkins this big. And at the end of summer, you know, the end of summer is the harvest. And summer really ends around September 20th, and that's the end of the harvest. So this verse says that the harvest is past, the summer's ended, and we are not saved. And God's talking about people that have heard the word of God and have been invited to be saved by Jesus Christ, and yet they procrastinated and they're still not saved. And so, you know, we're right at the end of harvest time and at the end of our gathering in the harvest. And we want to see anybody and everybody get saved that has not yet been saved. And, you know, we have a fruit tree out there, and the fruit tree represents, people on that tree represent each of those red apples or whatever they are, their fruit. They represent people that have trusted Jesus Christ to save them during this campaign. And of course, once they're saved, they're to get baptized and gathered into the barn and be part of the local church. And this is represented here because the church doesn't save you, but it helps you to grow and it helps you to become a stronger believer. But I'm thinking about the fruit on the tree there, and we want to make sure that that fruit is on the tree. And we know that there's coming a day when it will be too late to gather in the harvest. It'll be too late to get the harvest. And the wrath of God is going to fall upon this world. It's going to fall upon this whole world. And just like in Noah's day, the flood came, and those that didn't get in the ark, they weren't saved. I remember my oldest daughter, when I gave a devotional about Noah's ark, I talked about Noah and his family got in the ark and they were saved from the flood. And she saw her need to put her faith in Jesus, and she got saved. And that day, and she went and got on a taxi cab to go to Christian school, and she told her cab driver, "I just got saved." And she's still saved. Thank God for that, my oldest daughter. And the Bible says that the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Is there perchance somebody here you haven't yet closed with Christ? You haven't yet put your trust in Jesus? Let me tell you, on this Harvest Sunday, toward the end of our campaign, that you settle that you put that in the hands of Jesus today, and then you can know you're saved, because he won't cast you out. He said, "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." The devil's a liar. If you come to Jesus, then the devil tells you you're cast out. He's a liar. He's a faker. Do not believe him. And trust Jesus, and he will accept you, and you will be saved, because that's why he came. He didn't come to condemn you. He didn't come to cast you out. He came to invite you to himself. And he says, "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." That's why I know I'm saved. Amen? I've come to Jesus. But my text for this morning is simply this: he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. And that's what I want to preach on. I want to preach on the subject, what kind of child of God are you? I'm talking about those of you that are saved. And it says, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. What kind of child of God are you? What kind of son or daughter of God are you? And I want to just say that once the fruit or vegetables ripen, they must be quickly picked. Are you helping to gather the fruit or the vegetables into the barn, or are you sleeping while others are praying and going out in the Carbondale fields, in the Scranton fields, in the Wilkes-Barre fields? Where are you this afternoon? And I want to just say two things. Number one, are you being a wise son? Now, I'm thinking of my best friend when I was a young boy living at 3456 Sonora Drive, Grand Rapids, Michigan. My mother's here, and she knows that address. That's her house to this day. We moved in there about 1957. And shortly thereafter, I made some friends. I went to a Christian school near there called Millbrook. Went to that school, was in the second grade there. And then third grade, I went to Godwin, and so forth. And I had a friend, his name was Jack Kitts. And we were about, I'm going to say 9 years old, maybe 10 years old. And we were walking from Eastern Avenue, where we'd gone to some store, 9-10-year-old boys. We're walking through DeHaan's farm area and Ed Bolthouse's farm area in Grand Rapids, walking to our house. And here's an old guy there, leather face, got a hat on. He's an old farmer, and his name is Ed Bolthouse. And Ed looked at us, and he was a Hollander, and Ed Bolthouse said to Jack and I, "Hey, how would you guys like to make some money?" Well, that was my thing. I said, "Man, yeah, I'd like to make some money." He said, "Well, we're going to pick peas, and you got to be here, I think it was Monday, you got to be here on Monday morning, what is it, 6 in the morning, or whatever it was. We were on summer vacation now, and he said, you'll be able to pick peas." So we got there early in the morning, you know, 6 in the morning, whenever it was, to pick peas. And all I did was pick peas, because the more peas I picked and the more I had bushel baskets full of peas, the more money I would make. He paid you by the bushel. And I was picking those peas, you know. And there was a lot of people that he had hired to pick peas. I was just a 9-10-year-old boy, but I was going at it, man. I made some money. And it was great. I used to go to bed at night that summer, and nowhere to lie, I'd close my eyes and I saw peas, all over, just peas. I couldn't get the peas out of my brain, you know. But I picked peas. I thank God for that, because I learned something, that I learned not to sleep in when it was pea picking time. I learned to work when it was pea picking time, and I made money. Do you know what? Jesus pays money for his work, but he pays rewards for his work. And listen to me, we need to not be unwise. It says in the Bible, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son. Are you a wise son? Are you out there picking the fruit for Jesus? You know, Jesus said this. He said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. I know pastor friends of mine, they say, I'm in a hard area. I just can't get people. I just can't get people saved. And I think to myself, you're a liar. The reason you don't get people saved is you're not a wise son. Because if you're a wise son, you will gather a harvest. You say, what are you talking about? It's a hard area. Jesus said the harvest is what? Plenteous. He didn't say there was a problem with the harvest. He said there's a problem with what?
Labor.
The laborers are few. A laborer is somebody that works hard. I say, Ed Bolthouse gave me an opportunity. I worked hard. I made money that summer. And I've learned that if you want to have success in God's work, you got to show up when it comes time to work, and you got to work hard. You got to be willing to labor. And so notice it says, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son. You know what? I went down to Hammond, Indiana in 1986. I heard about the great bus ministry that was reaching out to Chicago and so many neighborhoods in Chicago. And a lot of pastors and churches were just letting those kids die and go to hell from those ghettos in Chicago. But there was a southern pastor from Texas, and he decided, you know what, those kids are worth reaching. He was given 6 buses as a gift. and he used those buses to bring in those kids to his church from Chicago. A lot of people didn't like it, but he determined, hey, I'm not going to turn them away. I'm going to reach those kids. And thank God, because he touched my heart through what he did to want to do it here. And I started getting a van, and we went up to Skyview, and we went up to Hilltop area, right where you are, Kira, right up in Hilltop. And we went up in there, and then I started having angina. I was probably 36. I had angina because I was too fat. And I was tired from whipping up the mountain. But now I've lost a little. I feel better now. I feel better. But anyway, then we went over to Dunmore, and we had a van, and we started picking fruit there, getting people saved, telling them about Jesus. And then, you know what I heard? Ban the van. Ban the van. You know why they said ban the van? Because, hey, why get a van when you can have a 72-passenger bus and fill that bus? Why not bring it in, right? And so we started trying to fill the buses. And so what am I saying here? I'm saying a wise son will go from a van to a bus and try to leap up there. And he that gathereth in summer is a wise son. You say, what about the summertime? I'm saying we had an opportunity back there in 1989 to do that bus ministry. And we took advantage of the opportunity. And then God gave us this building, and we built a baptistry. We sold the organ. And I believe I become a wise pastor. Amen? I believe I become a wise man. Why? Because I'm interested in people and people getting saved. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, I want to win the more. I want to win the more. Listen to me. Jesus is not for an exclusive club. Jesus died for the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. And he wants them to be saved. And so I want to be a wise son, and I want to go along with Jesus and gather in a harvest. You can gather in a harvest by helping us start a third bus route in Wilkes-Barre. We have 5 people coming from Wilkes-Barre. We could have more once we get that third bus route. I want to go to another bus. I don't want to go to a van or a minibus. I want to go to a big bus. I believe we can do that in Wilkes-Barre. Do you have a vision for that? Where there is no vision, the people perish. That means they die and go to hell. I believe money, men, and material, the hardest thing is men. It's not money. God will give us the money. And some of you have given toward the bus ministry. Thank God for that. And you can help us to start a Wilkes-Barre bus route and to help us with that Wilkes-Barre bus route. It's already started. You can help us to grow that. You can gather in a harvest by helping our bus captains build their routes. Brother Jose and Sister Diane, Brother Matt, you can help them by building their routes and reach more people. Thank God the bus routes are growing and they are building. And you could gather, by the way, you can gather in a harvest by letting others provoke you to love and good works. You know, the Bible says provoke one another to love and good works. What does that mean? That means God wants you to get jealous of other Christians who are doing more than you are as far as picking the peas, as far as gathering in people and getting people saved. Now, I'm a pastor for 13 years. Every day I led somebody to the Lord. And then I let that go for a couple years. And I was looking at people in this church, especially Miss Diane. I said, man, she's going at it. She's leading people to the Lord all the time. I said, I need to up my game. I need to get going. And I decided I'm going to get back by doing it every day again. And I've been doing it again. Amen. I've been doing it again. And we need that. We need to provoke one another to love and good works, because we tend to be lazy. You tend to be lazy. And it's all right if I'm going to heaven, I'll let others die and go to hell. No, it's not all right. Their blood is on our hands, and they could be on your hands. Are you being a wise son or daughter? You can, and you need to get in the church. If you've been saved, you should get the uniform on. You should get baptized. You know what the uniform is. The uniform is to put on Jesus' uniform. How do you do it? You get baptized, right? And then you join the church, and we're part of a team. God's work is teamwork. And as a team member, you can provoke one another to love and good works. And God stirred me up. And so I'm just saying, some of you need to be stepping up your game. You need to be provoked to do more to step up your game. I think of Miss Awilda. Thank God for Miss Awilda. She's been witnessing at work. She went through our soul winning. She learned to give the gospel. And I can use her on a Sunday morning. I say, Miss Awilda, somebody came forward, help me out. She knows how to lead somebody to the Lord because she came out to our Thursday soul winning training more than once and got trained. And she's leading people at work. And our friend here, Jack, Joe Pila is here. He got saved through Awilda, got baptized, joined the church. I'm just saying, listen, the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. It says, for in due season ye shall reap if we faint not. Right. I used to call Brother Matt God's snail. My wife said, you can't do that. I said, why not? She said, you're not allowed to call Brother Matt God's snail. So I don't call Brother Matt God's snail anymore. I stopped it. Amen. But I am thinking about Brother Matt this morning. I'm thinking about the tortoise and the hare, Aesop's fable. And you remember that tortoise? He was a bunny and he was going to beat the hare. I mean, I'm sorry, the hare was the bunny and the tortoise was the turtle. And we'll use Matt as the turtle. And the bunny was going to beat the tortoise. And he said, man, I could beat you. I'm faster than you. And you know how bunnies are fast. And that bunny took off. She's going. And that just tortoise just goes, eyes are coming. Eyes are coming. And that bunny's going. Ch-ch-ch-ch. And it's a pretty long race. The bunny's like, oh, man, I've got him beat by so much. I'm just going to relax. And it was a sunny day. He got under a tree. He ate a carrot. You know, that tortoise was nowhere to be found. He was so far back. But the problem is the bunny fell asleep. He fell asleep, and while he was sleeping, that tortoise went right by him. And finally, the bunny wakes up and realizes, holy mackerel, I fell asleep. And the tortoise is like about 2 feet from the finish line. He's going, That bunny takes off, man. He's going light speed. He's catching up to that tortoise. But too late, the tortoise crosses and wins the race. And you know what? It reminds me of this. It says, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And you know what, Brother Matt? He just keeps going, He keeps going in Carbondale. I've seen pastors go up in Carbondale and say, I give up. I can't win Carbondale. Carbondale's too tough. And Bert's here today. Bert's got how many kids? 10 kids? And he's got what? How many? 9 today. He's got 9 kids today. And Brother Matt's just going in Carbondale. And all of a sudden he meets Bert, and he got Bert and 10 kids and his wife. That's like on the bus. And he's gone from his 20s up to his 40s. Now we're near 40. And he's gone to another level, you know. But I'm just saying, the Bible says, listen, in due season ye shall what? Reap if ye faint not. You might not be the fastest. You might not be the smartest. You might not be the best looking. But are you slow and steady? Stay with it. If I've learned one thing, I'm going to be God's bulldog. I'm going to stay with it. And so I'm just saying, you can gather a harvest and be a wise son by staying with it, getting locked into somebody that's winning souls and helping them, whether it's Brother Matt or Brother and Diane needs an adult, and Jose needs an adult, because our church is supposed to have 2 adults going out with minors. I learned that back in 2017, and that's my thing, and I'm on record to say that. But we need more adults, amen? And you could help out with Diane. You could help out with Jose. He needs help. And you could help out with Brother Matt and his route. I think he has two adult workers now. I'm one of them. I do a little bit. But I'm just saying to you that the harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. Are you being a wise son and helping to gather that harvest? And then in Matthew 28 it says, give the gospel. And then it says, when somebody gets saved, get them down the aisle and baptize them. That means dunk them under the water. Does that wash away your sins? No. But it's a symbol that you've accepted the Lord. And when I got saved, I got baptized in a Baptist church. And if you're saved, if you really believe you're saved, you should get baptized. And after you get baptized, you should join the church and show, hey, I'm in the barn. I am with Jesus. I'm with his disciples. Okay? And that shows that you're the real thing. And so, are you being a wise son? And are you following people up to lead them down the aisle and get them baptized? Miss Diane has been doing that greatly, doing a great work with that every week. And praise the Lord for those that are doing that. But listen, not just get them saved and baptized. Matthew 24 says, teaching the ones that get saved and baptized how they can win souls, how they can pick peas, how they can gather in the harvest. And you know what? Every semester, we have a new soul winning training. We have one coming up in January. We're finishing up this one in December and January. And every semester, I try to train somebody new. And last semester, I had Steve and Brenda Manning. And now they can train new people if they can get hooked into that and do that. And that's a wonderful thing, because soul winning is not just going out soul winning, it's training new people. Jesus said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. When Awilda came out, she got trained so she could lead people to the Lord. And she's staying with it, thank God. And now this semester, I'm training Joe Pila. Joe is here, Awilda led him to the Lord. I say he's my grandson in the faith, because I led Awilda, she led Joe, and now he's going out, and we have great times. I love going out with Joe, we have good times, and every semester, are you doing that? Are you upping your game? That's what is in Matthew 24. Get them saved, get them baptized, and then take them out and train them to do the same thing, to get people saved and baptized and keep on keeping on for the Lord. So I'm just saying, listen, what kind of child of God are you? Are you being a wise son? The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. And then it says that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. In other words, you pick the fruit, that's being a wise son, you get people saved, and then you plant that fruit and grow a fruit tree. What's a fruit tree? Somebody that's winning others to Christ. I'm so glad, not only have I led people to Christ, but I've trained them and now they're fruit trees. And one of the saddest things, when I get a fruit tree and then that fruit tree gets cut down, I don't like that. And they're no longer functioning, and so we don't want that. What kind of child of God are you? Are you being a wise son and gathering in the fruit and doing what the Bible says? Now, the last point I want to say is, don't be a foolish son. Because it says in Proverbs 10:5, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. Now, you know, harvest time is what we're going through right now. We're having a harvest dinner, we're having a harvest time. You know, right next to our church is a house right here. 2020, we're at, I think it's 2018 North Main Avenue. We had a guy live there years ago that was a deacon. And not the deacon's wife that lives there now and her husband, but another deacon lived there. And he had a family, and I remember this guy was doing what some people do in church. They were sleeping in church. And he was not sleeping in church, but he was sleeping spiritually. He was not doing, he told me, the things that he should be doing. And he was not really doing, he was kind of sleeping on the Lord. I hope you're not sleeping, but if you are, God says you're causing shame, because it's harvest time. It's not time to go to sleep. You say, when do I go to sleep? When Jesus comes back, when the harvest is over, amen? You can relax then, amen? You got a long time to relax then. And you don't even need to sleep then. But this guy was sleeping, and he said his wife woke him up. And woke him right out of a sleep, and he goes, what's up? What's up? And she said, go check something. I don't know. I smell something weird. Go down the basement and check it. So he goes walking down the stairs. He was sleeping upstairs. He goes walking down. He goes to the basement door where the stairs are, and he opened the door. And when he opened the door, of course, the oxygen rushed into the basement. And guess what was in the basement? A fire was smoldering. When that oxygen hit that fire, it went poosh, and his whole basement exploded with fire. Well, they had to get out of there. That house was burning. I came maybe a couple hours later, and there were firemen all over this place. It was closed down. I had to park out there, walk into the church. and the firemen were all around that house. That house was pretty much burned in the inside anyway. And they had to live in a motel in Clark Summit for months. But I'm just saying to you that he was a good example to me of a negative thing. He that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. You know, the Bible says that the word diligent is an important word. And diligent, listen, means to be up early at a task. When I met Ed Bolthouse and he talked about farming, I had to get up early in the morning. I wonder how many of you know, don't raise your hand, that the sun comes up gradually. How many of you know that the day starts at 6 a.m. and that many times Jesus was up a great while before day? Have you ever been up before day? Have you ever been up and got in the Bible and read the Bible? Have you ever been up and prayed? Have you ever been up and planned your day and sought the Lord? And you know, the Bible says that the laborers are few. What a shameful thing it is to be sleeping in when people are dying and going to hell. It's like fruit. Ed Bolthouse had that fruit there. He got as many people as he could to volunteer to pick it. Why? He paid us to pick it. Why? Because he didn't want that fruit to rot. And Jesus doesn't want the fruit to rot. He wants us to pick the fruit and to get people saved. And you know what a sad thing it is when there are churches and there are preachers. And guess what these churches and these preachers are doing? They are gathering together to babysit baby Christians. And by that I mean that these baby Christians want just to be fed the Word of God and they want to be taught the Word of God, but they're being babysat. And I remember years ago, I went to pastor school in Hammond, Indiana, and the preacher there had the world's largest Sunday school. He had a great bus ministry, and he said, I had to make a decision. And when he said that, I had to make the same decision. He said, am I going to be a religious lectureship church or a soul-winning generalship church? You know what a religious lectureship church is? It's where people come, they meet, they eat the Word of God, and they retreat. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in Bible teaching. Amen. The Bible says when people got saved in Acts 2, they got baptized. And what did they do? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's Bible teaching. We teach the Bible on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night. We teach and preach the Word of God, and we need the apostles' doctrine. But in these religious lectureship church, that's all they have is the apostles' doctrine. That's all they have. And they say, feed me, and meet my needs. I have needs, meet my needs. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting fed. There's nothing, you should be fed the Word of God. And there's nothing wrong with having needs met. That should be done in the body of Christ, that are biblical needs. That's a great thing. But I'm saying that's all they do in these kinds of situations. And that is not the fullness of what the church is all about. I like what Brother Joe Slobodnik says. He says when we come to Scranton Revival Baptist Church, we don't just get a meal. He said it's like Shady Maple smorgasbord. We have so much. We get fed. We get blessed. We have no excuses. Amen? But what did he say in Acts 2? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Then he said, and in fellowship. Now, you know what fellowship is? Fellowship isn't just two fellows sitting around eating donuts, drinking coffee. Fellowship means that you are joining together to get people saved, to get them baptized, to give money to do it, to go out and do it, to pray to do it. It's to join together, to gather in a harvest. In other words, it's working together with Jesus and others. And you know what? I found out there are few churches that are really doing that. There are few churches that have the balance. They have the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. There are few churches, and the ones that are doing it, even a good church that's doing that like this one. Sometimes there are few people that are participating in giving tithes and offerings, that are participating in help getting people saved. I had a guy come up to me this morning. I thank God for it. His name was Chris. He came up to me. He said, Pastor, I want to invite this guy to come to Christ. I want to invite him to pray to receive Christ, but I don't know how to do it. How do I do it, preacher? What do I do? You know what I did? I pulled out a church track. And I said, right here, we got a QR code. He can listen. I said, here, take this and go through it. Read it to him. And at the end, you pray that prayer with him. And get him saved. Let me see that track right there. Brother Matt has it. And there it is. And I showed him that track. And I showed him. He said, thank you, Pastor. See, he's acting on it. And that is what we're doing. Because if you're not doing anything like that, and you're not giving tithes and offerings, and you're not going and doing anything like that, you are, listen to me, you are sleeping in harvest. So I just want to conclude this message, and I want to ask you the question, listen, what kind of child of God are you? Are you being a wise son? And don't be a foolish son or daughter. Are you saved? If you're not, come to Jesus. Amen. Number two, if you're saved, come forward and say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I need to get baptized. And if you've done that, I need to join the church. And if you've done that, I need to up my game and do more to gather in the harvest. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. And we're gonna pray. But before we pray, I want to ask you that question. Are you saved? You say, Pastor, yes, I'm saved. Thank God. I know I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? Amen and amen. Thank God for those hands. You may put them down. Perhaps you still have not been saved at this point as we are late in the game. And you say, Preacher, I'm not saved, but I'd like prayer that I would get saved before it's too late. I don't want to miss out. I don't want to be on the outside looking in and have to face Jesus and be cast out. I don't want to do that. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand if you need prayer and say, Pastor, pray for me. I haven't yet gotten that point, but I'd like to know I'm saved. Anybody like that this afternoon? We want to pray for you. This is the chance. Don't let it go by. Let me just see that hand and I'll pray for you. And listen, if you are saved and you're in the, how about you say, Preacher, I'm saved, but I'm not baptized. I'm not a member of the church. I know I need to take that step. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand and I'll pray for you? I'm saved, but I'm not baptized. I'm not yet in the church. And one more I'd like to say, if you're saved and you're baptized and in the church, Pastor, I'm saved, I'm baptized, I'm a member of the church, but I believe God wants me to up my game. I believe I've not been the wise child. I believe I've been too often sleeping during the harvest time. And I have some decisions to make to up my game, and I want to do that today. Would you pray for me? Would you make that a prayer? Would you raise your hand? Amen and amen and amen and amen and amen and amen. I would like to ask, we stand together, and the invitation's being played. If you made that decision, would you come to the altar and would you tell the Lord, Lord, I'm here to up my game. I'm here to go forward. And would you pray yourself? Then I'll pray for you. But would you come and put some feet to your faith and come to the altar? If you raise your hand, why don't you get up and come to the altar and say, Lord, help me now. I'm coming and I'm making a commitment. I want to be involved in the work that Pastor's talking about. I want to be involved in the work of the Lord. And I want to do what He wants me to do. All right, go for it. Amen. Praise God. Amen. All right. I hope you'll come. Megan Howie has come. She's just gotten saved and she wants to be baptized and she wants to join the church today. Praise God. Miss Diane again brought her. And praise God, that's the third person she brought today for baptism. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise God. We're going to pray. Some of you need to up your game, and you're making commitments to do that. Let's bow and pray and ask God to help us to up our game. Lord God, we do thank you for church. We do thank you for the Lord Jesus, the captain of our salvation. Thank you, Father, that He is our example for somebody that was the ultimate soul winner. And Lord, that he is the one that gave it all that we could have this harvest. And help us, Father, to join with him. Lord, I pray you bless Megan as she now professes her faith and gets baptized. Lord, bless her, give her grace, help her to live for you and to be part of the church and part of the fellowship of the gospel in this church, Lord. Thank you for the feeding on the Word of God that you give us and the blessings physically and spiritually, Father. Help us to share in tithes and offerings and to do our part. And help those that came forward today to go to that next level, Lord. May we go to that next level. Pray that you bless our bus work. Pray that you bless a Wilkes-Barre bus route with workers and the Carbondale and the Scranton. Give us more workers, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated for a moment. And before we go here, we want to reward the kids that are here as we go to prayer. Who has a child that did really good? And we have three different treats here. Brother Matthew, first of all. Come on up, Sabrina. Amen. Wonderful. Isn't that great, Missy? She won. Give her a hand, Sabrina. She got an airhead. Amen. All right. We have two Hershey bars, but we got baptism first. Glory, glory, amen. All right, Pastor and Deacon recommend that Megan Howie be accepted into the membership by her public profession of faith baptism. Do I have a motion from a member? Brenda Manning so moves. And I got a pen that's not moving. All right, so that's Brenda. Do I have a second to that? And a second is Christine. All right, Christine. All in favor signify by saying aye. Then that is carried. We can welcome Megan Howie to the membership of Scranton Revival Baptist Church. Amen. All right, I have two more candy bars. I'm going to give one to Robbie Bajeski, a Hershey bar. And I got one left. Who do I give it to? Arian. Got it. All right, let's clap for that. All right, I'm going to pray for the desserts, amen? And then we're going to go down and have dessert. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you for this great day. I thank you for the word that we've heard. Lord, may it bring forth fruit in our lives. Thank you for these pies and those that made them. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. See you downstairs. All right, Dr.
I got it right here. I got all the stuff. There's two first place, two